Okay, welcome everyone. I'm Robbie Burton, the Managing Director and Publisher of Craig Pond Publishing. Today was to be the day of the launch of a new book written by Nikki Hager and published by Craig Pond Publishing. The books, as you can see, have been printed, preparations for the launch have been finalised, and we learnt on Friday afternoon that an injunction had been granted that blocked the release of the book, and we are unable now to sell and distribute this book. The man who sought that injunction, National Party leader Don Brash, has suggested publicly that he had to block the publication because the book is about his private business. That is incorrect. Although this injunction prevents us from selling the book, we've decided to proceed with this press conference because we believe that this book deserves to be published and that the people of New Zealand should know that it exists. This is a serious, important book about politics. How politics operates, and I strongly believe that the people of New Zealand have a right to read it. Apparently, that is not possible. We also want to see this book published because I want to support the work of Nikki Hager, who, in my opinion, is one of the best investigative researchers and writers in New Zealand, and if you judge by what his peers say internationally in the world. We have published three of his previous books, and all of them have stood the test of time in terms of their integrity and their accuracy. And I believe this book is no different. So I'd now like to hand you over to Nikki.
Thanks for coming today. There's a lot I can't say about the book, but I'll start off by telling you about what the book is not, since there have been rumours drifting around about a book or books, or probably this book, over the last few months. So just to help you reframe from what you might be expecting or what perhaps the National Party has been expecting, first thing I should say is that this is not a book about Don Brash's personal life. There is nothing in the book about his personal life, and there are none of his personal emails. Those rumours were wrong. It's a serious book about politics. Secondly, despite some rumours, this book has got nothing to do with the Labour Party or the New Zealand First Party or any other party. This is the book I've been working on for almost 3 years quietly, and it is entirely my own initiative. Finally, despite rumours to the contrary, this is not a Brash email book or a book primarily about Don Brash. The rumours were vaguely correct, but they were off the mark. This is a book about the Brash-led National Party over a three-year period of New Zealand history. And although it includes emails of Don Brash's amongst documentation, it also includes interviews and a wide range of other National Party documents, including emails by many other National Party senior figures. So that's what the book isn't. What the book is, it's called The Hollow Man. It gives an inside account of the National Party. It starts with Don Brash's rise to power, covers essentially the 3 years of his leadership, and it's particularly about the two-year frantic period where the National Party tried to become government. The subtitle is A Study in the Politics of Deception. The reason for that title is that there is abundant information in the book and various cases which involve deceiving journalists who are sitting in the room here of deception of the public, of the media, and campaign messages, and the difference between the policies that we've promoted and the ones that we're talking about behind the scenes, and many other issues. And so deception is one of the key themes of the book. As I said, I can't talk about lots of details, but I want to give an overview while I can. And you'll see in the papers I've handed out the contents page, which will give you a sense of the breadth of the book. It includes subjects like the political strategies behind the scenes before Brash's first Arewa race speech. It includes Nash's links with American neoconservative links, which were later denied and which were kept secret throughout. It talks about his hidden links with industry lobby groups and other business lobbies. at a time when the National Party was talking about that it was Labour that was beholden to special interests. It talks about the strange and hidden alliances which the National Party developed at the same time as it was saying it was a mainstream party and it was actually building its links with exclusive brethren and even stranger groups. It looks at the big donors and names the National Party's big donors who have never before been known and talks about the relationships with the National Party. It looks at the election strategies and the particular techniques that were brought in, which were hired from the Australian strategy consultant Crosby Textor, the same consultants who have done 4 Liberal Party elections in Australia and the last British election, and the work they did for National here in New Zealand. And it looks at a range of election finance and parliamentary spending issues which appear to me to breach the rules and to probably break the law. And there's much, much more than that. For example, you'll see on the list there that the first chapter is about the exclusive brethren, which is a subject which New Zealanders heard lots about but actually heard very little about because the National Party denied its links. In the research for this book, I managed to find out a lot about the link between the National Party and the exclusive brethren, and I can say decisively that the top National Party people who subsequently denied their links to the exclusive brethren were well aware of their links throughout, and in particular, that the main people involved in the contact with the exclusive brethren for months before the election were Don Brash personally, spokesperson John Key, and the campaign manager Stephen Joyce. And that is well documented in the book. Their subsequent denials are contradicted by the long record of involvement, which started intensely in May of the election year, 4 months before the election. I believe that it's information like this, and not personal details of Mr. Brash's life or his wish for his electorate, for members of the public to be able to write to him, which explain why he's trying to block publication of this book. Excuse my long-winded discussion, but this is my one chance to tell you what it's about. I want to say a few words about my sources and about the injunction. First, about the sources of the book. Again, the rumours and the claims which have whizzed around, unfortunately, I should probably say, when you're researching a book like this and you're interviewing people and you're gathering information, it's very hard to keep the whole thing secret, and so some rumours did come out. But the rumours in this case have been incorrect to do with sources, and a lot of it has been incorrect. The book is not the result of somebody hacking into the parliamentary computer. It is not the result of somebody gaining unauthorised entry to Don Brash's computer system and what it says on his injunction. They're on the wrong track with that. The only reason I could write this book is because there were people inside the National Party and close to the National Party who trusted me with information which they were authorised to take, and they chose to give it to me because of their concerns about what was happening inside their own party. These people didn't help me frivolously. They were willing to help the book because of their unhappiness that their party, despite its riding high and campaigning on its sense of principle compared to the Labour government and all the rest of the media spin that we've seen for the last year, that they believed their party had been acting unethically, dishonestly and even illegally, and was entirely getting away with it because nobody knew. I became in part a channel for their concerns once they trusted me with the information. Concerning the injunction, if this book had been about Don Brash's life and it had been based on his personal emails, I think he would have been justified in trying to stop publication. Some of you will know that I have written and spoken widely about privacy issues, and I have no interest in knowing about Don Brash's life or his private life or publicising it. He has a right to privacy on those matters. But that's not what this book is about. His claims about personal privacy should not be used to dodge accountability for the issues which are in the book. The people who are talked about in the book are not people in their private lives. They are people who are paid by the public as politicians and officials and who are accountable to the public. This is a party that wants the right, wanted the right to be the government of New Zealand and nearly got it, using the tactics and the hidden alliances and the deceptions which this book is about. And they want to be government again. They'll be trying again. They'll be obviously trying for the next election. And of course, the National Party has campaigned all this year on the issue of integrity. And so when information arises that questions their integrity and calls to account their record as a future government, I don't believe they are in the right when they use an injunction and legal devices to try to block publication. It's in effect, I believe the injunction is aimed at suppressing unwanted news, and that the motivation for this very heavy legal blocking that we're seeing at the moment is that they're trying to avoid the consequences of the revelations in the book. You can see from the materials I've been able to hand out today, which is just the beginning part of the book, the contents page, the foreword and the preface, and we decided to stop there so as not to get anywhere near legal issues, even though a lot of the book is not covered by it strictly by the injunction at this stage, because it's not Brash's emails. But we decided to stop at that stage just to give an indication of what the book was about. Since the book is actually not about Don Brash's life, and it is not about based on his personal emails, we believe that the injunction should immediately be dropped and that the public should be able to judge this for themselves. It is not consistent with National Party philosophy to try to suppress a book just because you don't like what it says. Finally, I note that the National Party, as you are all aware, regularly and gleefully leaks information which it gets from other places. They get information from Maori organisations, they get it leaked from government organisations, they get it from Labour government, and they cheerfully give it to the media, and they explain that they're doing it out of the highest of motives and for accountability and for the public interest. I hope that no one will take them seriously when it turns out leaks are from within their own party, they suddenly want to say that this leaking somehow amounts to theft, and but that all the other ones that they do aren't theft. I am sure that every journalist in this room and around the country, if you had had the opportunity to have the information that I was given for this book, you would have been glad to print it and you would have felt very lucky. And I am certain that National would have been delighted to receive similar information about the Labour Party and to publicise it as far and wide as they could. So what I'm asking is, please do not let them get away with hypocrisy on this point by saying that this is theft and scurrilous, but everything else that goes on in democracy is legitimate and principled. I think I have written a very good book. I'm proud of it. I think it is one of high public interest and integrity. I stand by the work, and I look forward to New Zealanders being able to judge it for themselves. It shines a light onto many deceptive and unethical activities that otherwise would have remained secret, and it raises important issues about the future of the National Party. I want to use this occasion to thank the people, in a sense whose book it is, which is the inside sources and also the people outside National who helped me to make the book possible. And I would like to be thanking them at a book launch, but we can't do that yet. The reason we've continued with launching the book is so that the public and everyone involved in the legal case at least knows in general terms what it is that the National Party is trying to suppress. I hope that we will be able to launch the book itself in the near future. Thank you. I'm happy to take questions, but before I take questions, I'll state the obvious, which is that you have to understand that I can't say all kinds of things, as you can imagine, until the injunction is lifted.
Are you challenging the injunction in court?
There are two stages to this. The first stage of it is that the National Party has justified this injunction as being the protection of privacy and the protection of Mr. Brash's personal life and things. The first stage is that I think the obligation is on him to lift the injunction now that that is abundantly not the case, and you can see yourself what the contents page is and what the chapters are about and what the book is. If he's not prepared to do that, well, then the fight begins, and of course we have to pursue it legally.
Maybe it's difficult to go, as you say, through the details, but to talk about the book exposing deception, what would you identify as areas of deception on behalf of the National Party?
When I use the word deception, in politics there's a broad sweep of things that can be covered by deception. There are outright lies, which there are quite a few of in the book, on important public matters. There is where people hide information and emphasise something else. There's where people talk about, promote one policy and amongst themselves say that they're not planning to do it quite that way or that they're going to do something different when they become government. There are one important area of deception is how you present yourself. And if you say that you're a mainstream party and that your opponents are the party of special interests, and in the background you're cultivating the strangest of special interests and ignoring the mainstream, then those are all different kinds of deception. And there are many levels, because this book, I have been privileged enough to get so much information that this is the whole scope of how a political party works in all aspects of its election campaign, from the banal and predictable through to the really surprising.
Do these emails show that Don Brash knew about the Brethren a lot way before it became public?
I can't say anything about what is in any emails because it is emails that are covered by Dr. Brash's injunction. I can say that the book categorically shows that senior National people, and in particular Don Brash, John Key and Stephen Joyce, were liaising with, aware of and fully informed of the Brethren plans months before the election, contrary to everything that they said to you guys.
Who could be stranger than the exclusive Brethren?
Wait for the book.
Sorry, when you're talking about the Brethren, do you mean an anti-Green campaign or do you mean just a sort of anti-government campaign?
So ask the question again, sorry?
Do you mean an anti-Green campaign, a specifically anti-Green Party campaign, or a specifically anti-government?
When I'm talking about the Brethren, I'm talking about the 7 pamphlets that they spent slightly over $1 million on in the last 2 weeks before the election, and the National Party's knowledge of that.
But Don Brash was surprised that it was an anti-Green campaign. Did he know it was going to be an anti-Green campaign?
I can't comment on that, sorry.
I'm sorry to press it, but I mean...
Yeah.
You cast some assertions about the National Party having links with strange groups. I mean, can you characterise them if you can't name them? Can you say political groups?
I'm talking about surprising business lobbies. I'm talking about surprising religious groups and wider. Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have thought business lobbies would be surprising at all. I would expect they should have links with all of them.
I was surprised by some. Maybe you wouldn't be. I was.
What about the American links? What have you discovered?
There is a whole chapter on the American links, and I can't talk about it under the injunction.
The credibility of the book will rest on the National Party that decided to
talk
to you. A lot of the credibility of the book will rest on the National Party that decided to talk to you. What was their motivation? Can you be more clear about that? How high up in the hierarchy are they?
Two parts to that answer. The first is the credibility of the book rests on, given that I can't reveal the sources, the credibility of the book stands on two pillars, really. One is the documentation in it, and the other is me, that I'm staking my reputation on the fact that I have got it right and I've taken it from reputable sources. All I can say about the sources is that I'll say a few things about the sources, which I said in the introduction. I had to check the motives. First of all, I was the one writing the book and researching it. I approached people. I found them separately. There was not a group working in concert who came to me and offered a bundle of things. I built up trust with various people, and they decided to provide me with materials. But essentially, I'm confident that it was my initiative to write a book rather than their political agendas which resulted in the book. This book happening with this information. I could also say, because I've said it in the book, that none of the people who helped me, as far as I know, were doing it for any personal political leadership ambitions. It wasn't a factional reason for helping me. In other words, I'm personally comfortable that the sources are reliable and that their motives are clear to me.
How
How are we talking about people challenged in the National Party?
Pardon?
Are we talking about people who are MPs or working in the National Party in Parliament now?
I don't want to talk about my sources, sorry, and I won't be.
You did use, if I noted it correctly, when you were talking about your sources earlier, I think you used the expression authorised to take. I may have misheard you, but...
What I'm saying is that the people who gave me information were not hacking, climbing through windows, or sneaking along looking like cleaners. They were authorised to have information.
If that's the case, then the injunction doesn't apply to you, does it? Why not just publish it again?
One of our options was to publish and be damned, but they have got a huge amount of resources, and we have got reasonably few resources, and the injunction was... My legal advice was that the injunction was broad enough and vague enough that we may have been seriously contempt of court and we would have been punished badly for proceeding. And so we would like to launch it today, but we couldn't.
But yeah. Presumably you're going to argue if you go back to court that any documents or any emails you've got weren't taken without authorisation. They were given to you by the rightful owner.
We will be arguing that.
How do you legally challenge that injunction if you can't identify your sources?
There are lots of ways. There are many ways that we can proceed if we have to do this legally. As I've said, the first stage is that Nationals, so far all Nationals' public justifications for having this injunction do not seem to apply to a book about accountability and whether they act with integrity, which they should be prepared to put before the public. But if we have to proceed legally, then there are more things that we can do than to declare our sources, than me declaring my sources, because I won't be doing that.
What do you think this book, what implications does your book have for John Bradshaw's leadership, do you think?
I don't actually know. I'm not writing this book for or against Don Brash. It's not even a book about Don Brash. His name's not on the cover for that reason. It's not. This is a book about the National Party and where it's going and how it acted and how political parties should act in New Zealand. So I'm not sure what it will mean for the leadership of the National Party.
Put it this way. He's the leader of a party that's been, if I understand it correctly, involved in a game of deception and, if you like, deceit over certain issues, like, for example,
the exclusive referendum. Correct.
So you must surely have some view about what it means for his leadership.
I hope that the book will come out, that the public will read it, and that the people concerned will be held accountable for their actions. That's the point of a book like this.
Is there a smoking gun that will make the public gasp at the level of deception?
I'm confident when people read this, they will not doubt that it's a study in the politics of deception.
What's the most alarming contradiction or lie in Don Brash in terms of his public position to us as journalists and what he's saying privately? Can you give us some kind of indication?
Well, actually, what you're asking me to do is to talk about the area which is covered by the injunction, so I can't say.
You referred to them having certain policies which they were presenting to the public yet behind closed doors. They were talking about doing things quite differently. A lot of focus was on National's nuclear policy at the election last year. What did the book say about that?
There is a whole chapter about contacts between the National Party and Americans, American government people, all of which has never been known about or seen in public, or is it people are aware of it, but I can't go into any more than that.
Have you got any evidence of duplicity, for example, on the nuclear policy? They're saying one thing but claiming something quite different.
I think I'm safe to say this. There is a lot of evidence of contacts and negotiations before and after that gone by lunchtime stuff, which lead me to believe that they were still in the process of doing something about the nuclear free policy, but I don't actually know what was said in the meetings and what's in this particular thing, so I can't say categorically that they were planning to do something about nuclear policy. They weren't, but if you saw all the meetings and the discussions that are documented in here, which we never heard about, I think you would get a sense too that something was going on.
So these were discussions that were more along the lines of what policy might be rather than how certain American interests might help a national campaign through funding or through strategy, as how to run it, or policy context.
Both.
They talk about, in the book.
Yeah, thank you.
In your book, do they talk about anything around Iraq and the nationalist position around troops, the possible national government position?
Not a great deal, and there is some, and it falls into the can't talk about it category, sorry. Please watch that space.
You said that it doesn't come on Russia's private life, but do you accept that he could argue that it's still private information, even though it's not about his private life? Your communications with Craig Fung, for instance, would be private, but wouldn't be about your private life.
These are private communications in the sense that they are within the leadership group and with the key National Party MPs and groups there and the board, National Party board. So they were private in the sense that they weren't supposed to reach the public, but they're not private in the sense which the public is being led to believe, which is it's about his family, his personal affairs, his own private business, as not as a politician. But when you're a politician, when you're a politician, most of what you do, even within your office, is no one else's business. That's being a politician. But if that personal or private business as a politician between the politicians and within the offices reveals things which are deceptive and there's a high public interest in knowing about them, then I believe that those are the ones which can legitimately be leaked.
A couple more questions. One, the injunction the judge seems to rely heavily on copyright, according to the lawyers who've read it and advised me about it. Do you assert that none of the sources and none of the actions you've taken have actually breached copyright? And the next question is, do you still have the emails and do you intend to hand them to the registrar, which is also part of the court injunction?
There's two very different questions there. The first is that every leak that ever happens, that Murray McCulley ever gleefully brings around to you people or that someone else does, has issues of copyright and breach of confidence. Every single leak ever has that. That's why it's a leak rather than a press release. And so, yes, it's identical in those ways, but it is just a leak. As to my materials, you don't write a book like this and challenge people who are much more powerful than you are without expecting that they're going to try to punish you and to get back at you. And so I have taken the necessary means, like I have, for example, returned all the materials and all my papers to the sources, so I've got nothing to have to hand over now.
What are the implications for John Key out of your book?
Does he come across as Don Brash? Is he quite similar, John Key, to Don Brash in your book?
No, he's a different person, but I think what the book shows is that I would argue that the things which have been interpreted by commentators and in cases by political journalists as this person's doing this for this reason, that person's doing that for that reason, they're different. A lot of that is the consequence of the same strategy decisions by the same people. Let's downplay this issue. Let's emphasise this issue. That actually, the person who's doing it isn't actually the point. It's the strategies behind them. And that when John Key says something and it gets interpreted with great interest in this way and then Don Brash, actually it's the same people behind both of them.
Did you get any emails about his personal life, and if so, what have you done with them?
The honest answer on that is, amongst essentially political information, there was some information which I regard as personal, and I knew from the start I wasn't going to put it in the book, and it's not there, and that's been returned to the sources. But that's actually a huge minority. It's just,
When you say returned to the sources, isn't Don Brash's computer the sources?
No, it's actually not. No, that's incorrect.
But how can that be?
Can't explain, but it's not.
Yeah.
He's jumping conclusions.
There were thousands of his emails. Is that correct?
It's a little bit difficult coming along here when the story's already been framed by vague rumours which I think have been traded by politicians for their own reasons, to sort of, look, I've got something. Or, boy, you look out for what's coming. And so there's been a lot of predictions, but I don't have any phone books of emails or those kind of things. I got given some specific sets of material on the subjects, which you will eventually see in the book. That's all I can say.
Can I just ask, Nikki, sorry, what is the implication of the injunction for your actual book sales? I mean, is this going to harm your book sales? Or are you actually going to make it better?
I think I can reasonably say it's going to harm the book sales, yes. And
I mean, so I'm assuming at some point it will be published.
I hope it will be published in time for the Christmas market, but I am not at all confident. We will have to see. My personal opinion is that this will be decided as much in public and politics as it will be decided by the courts, and it's actually the National Party that has to decide that it's not right to be injuncting.
How long are you going to make Don Rush to do what you say is a decent thing and drop it before you actually have to take some legal action on your own behalf?
Well, fairly soon. We'll have to get
you
on with
it. Deadline, I suggest.
Well, my hope is that that this week, Don Brash and his colleagues will sit down, and they will realise that they are only going to hugely promote this book by trying to ban it, and that that's not the National Party way, and that their excuses for trying to stop it were not valid, and they will stop it. They will withdraw the injunction by the end of the week.
But we will have to.
Nothing happens quickly in the law, though. But we will have to get on with it. Yeah.
Are you going to provide them with a copy of it? Seems to me it's rather difficult for them to make a decision about that until they see it.
I think the legal processes will mean that they get a book pretty soon.
Have they served an injunction on you personally, or is it just the...
No, I expect one any minute, but no, not, they didn't know about me till now.
Isn't it highly likely that this is going to come down to a judge actually reading this book and deciding whether or not there's anything in there which has been obtained unlawfully or without authorisation, or which is in breach of privacy... And that's going to decide whether or not it's published in full or in part.
There's lots of ways a thing goes through the legal processes. That's the long and painful one. We'll just have to wait and see.
Can I ask, if you have any advice on whether someone can just take it in Parliament?
I haven't taken advice on that, and I haven't given it to anyone in Parliament. So.
What really?
But is that an option under the guise of some form of parliamentary privilege to have someone simply table it?
If they had it, then they could, yeah.
Realistically, what choice has National got? Because you'd use the injunction as a way of making fairly broad, sweeping, damaging claims without any detail to back it up.
Say that again?
Well, you'd use the injunction.
I've used the injunction.
No,
wait a moment. I haven't used the injunction.
It's debatable whether the injunction actually does cover the parts of the book. But you'd use that to mount pre-publicity. It makes very damaging, sweeping claims that are loaded with innuendo, and there's no way we as journalists can check it up or even National to respond, because we don't have the detail.
I have to confess, I hadn't seen it that way. Can I just explain again what order events was? I have written a book. We had a launch planned for 7 o'clock tonight, a book launch at the National Library. And on Friday afternoon, we found that we couldn't release the book. What were we to do? Were we to hide?
But you're releasing the general claims.
No, I am releasing as much of the book as I can to show, my intention is to show that this is not a book about Mr. Brash's personal life.
Do you reckon the National Party found out about it? Is that the trigger for the injunction? Even though it's in the name of John and Jane Doe?
No, I don't think they found out about this book and me, or that I would have been served on me, but I think they got tipped off, yeah.
What would your position be, given that you say you've handed back all the documentation you had to your various sources? Mm. What's your position if you're challenged as to the accuracy of what's in the book, or sued, or whatever? I mean, you're going to be able to defend yourself if you haven't got the raw material?
I had already decided that... You'll understand this. Part of the protection of sources is not handing across the documents, because documents are so incriminating about. So I wasn't going to hand across documents anyway, which is why I handed them back. My belief, someone in my position could make up the documents in here, I could make up the stories, and in the end, a book has only got as much credibility as the person who writes it. I could distort it. So this is I stake my reputation on this, and that's how it will be judged. But people can look in here, and they can see original documents. National can check them themselves. They've got copies of these. They can check whether they're reasonably and accurately portrayed there. So I believe the book stands on its information anyway.
Just to go back to what was Duncan raised earlier about implications for John Key. There's obviously implications for Don Brash's leadership. What about John Key as a potential publisher and would Bill English quite like one of these books in his Christmas stocking? He says the question, is he implicated in any way?
Are you asking me about Bill English?
Bill, yeah. I mean, is John Key, would he be tainted as a potential leadership challenger by what's in this book?
I'll say again what I said, because this just stops some silly stuff. People like John Key and Bill English, who are leadership contenders, had no knowledge of and no involvement in the book.
No, I'm not asking that. Yeah. I'm asking that, you know, you talk about Don Brash and John Key being...
I mentioned them because I'm mentioning Chapter 1, The Exclusive Brethren, yeah.
Right, okay. But is John Key going to be tainted as a potential national leader because of allegations that are in this book, because of what's uncovered about him?
He's not the main... The book is focused on the leadership group of the National Party, which is a relatively small number of people who run the strategy and decide the campaign tactics and the rest of it. And so John Key is not one of the central players in that. But there are some issues.
Does that mean that they're implicated?
Just one question at a time, please. But there are, for example, on the Exclusive Brethren, when that's a question which the country has wondered about, I can say without breaching the injunction that the main people who were having contact with them, and this is known more widely, this is known quite widely within the system, were those three who I mentioned.
Stephen Joyce and, well, in particular, yeah. Mary McCulley and Gerry Brownlee specifically denied any knowledge of or contact with the Exclusive Brethren, but they were part of the
it's actually impossible that they didn't know all about it, in my opinion.
So yeah. Nicky, just maybe just more to finish up, what, I mean, it's very hard for us because we haven't had a chance to read the book, of course.
Yes, I'm not trying to trick you. What did I do? Yeah, I told you nothing or something.
I understand. But what would you, in summary, say is the main kind of finding of the book? I mean, from a broad brush point of view, it's not unusual for a leader of a political party to have linkages, as Vernon was touching on before, with lobby group or business group or campaign strategist, and have an exchange of documentation. And taking your point about the Brethren and the election campaign, which was an issue at the time in which he was pushed on, quite lost in the election in the end, actually. But so what would you say is the main bit of new information that you've produced here that is so damning of them?
I can't give you a main piece. The main point of the book, and this is the point of this kind of journalism, is to differentiate, to show the difference between what the public gets shown and what really goes on. And so that is the heart of the book. Across a whole series of issues and themes and interpersonal relations and the rest of it. That's the interesting story.
In the preface, you say that you were inspired by the first Arirua Nation speech to sort of start looking at it.
Yeah.
Does the book show that the Arirua speech was not based on sincerely held beliefs and rather a result of political expedience of some sort?
I can't say that the book shows it wasn't based on sincerely held beliefs, but it shows a huge amount of political expediency behind the speech.
Do you have any issues with the collective actions? I mean, given that it wasn't directed at you, although it was, you know what I mean, an unnamed person, it is injunctive. Mm. Do you think the judge should have, there were some options, could have afforded an amicus to argue the case on the other side, or took too sweeping a view? What's your view of the injunction itself? Independent of your book, I guess.
I'm a legal expert. I think that possibly, on the information before him, for example, if the judge thought he was protecting Don Brash from embarrassing and unreasonable revelations about his personal life, he can't put them back in the bottle once they're out, and so maybe they have to be withheld. And so in some respect, there are reasons why you have injunctions, there are reasons why you have the tools of confidentiality and privacy laws and things. They have a place, and sometimes it's perfectly legitimate, and you have to do it before it's published or there's no point. And so in a way, on what the judge was told, it could have seemed like a legitimate injunction. My point of saying what the book is about is that I don't think the judge was doing that to stop politicians in a robust democracy avoiding political accountability. That's the difference.
What's the status of the book now? I mean, are you expecting someone to come and ask you for the copies of the book?
According to the injunction, we will get them seized and pounded or have to hand them across quite soon, probably.
What's the penalty for stealing one right now?
Well, I'll just go out of the room and...
you go first and we'll let you know.
Why didn't you just go... I mean, Don Bresch's injunction came sort of as a surprise to most people. Why didn't you just simply go back to court and argue your case rather than go public with it?
Probably you haven't done this, but if we were to do that, the course will be you would argue to take it off. If we won, it would be appealed. If we won the next one, it would be appealed. And then it would go to another stage, which means that... To be perfectly frank, if we had done that, no one would have found out about the book, and we couldn't have had this press conference because we would have had huge injunctions on us before anyone heard about it,
right.
And we would have gone into court for months and months and months without anyone knowing what it was about.
So
at least we're letting the public know what this is about before we get clamped on.
Right, because you're worried that this might be the only information that's ever made public about this.
No, this might be the only information that comes out about this for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't want to be defending it while in public they were saying, this is about protecting our privacy of my family and the people who send me emails about their concerns, which is not what the book's about.
In that case, I've got another question, which is that some of these emails have been published in the Sunday Star Times, notably, and subsequent to that as well, I think, on a few occasions. Were you in any way involved in the distribution of those emails, or was that separate?
You can read about that in the introduction, actually, where I explain that during the research of this book, I was about a year and a half into it or something, when the election was coming, and I sometimes write for the Sunday Star Times, so I approached them and said, would you like to have some of the stuff which shows the other side of one of the main contenders? And the reason I did that was that it felt fairly dodgy to have an election campaign going on when I had fascinating information about one of the contenders and not putting it forward to the public. But in fact, that was just a little bit of chapter two, as it turns out now. There were also some other leaks at that time, which are a mystery to me, how I put some information out once and then some other people suddenly have stuff at the same time. I mean, the leaks come in batches, I don't know, but I wasn't responsible for the other leaks. I've explained which are which in the front of the book.
Did you give anything to Winston?
No. He's doing his own thing.
What's the retail price?
I don't know.
$34.99 if it's ever published.
How many have you printed?
3,000.
Might be able to get more for it, yeah.
So would you actually wait for the book to take an offer? You won't hand it in to the court?
I think we'll hear from them quite soon, so it'll probably play out today. Yeah.
What about, in the injunction there's quite a specific scope in there for damages for anyone who can prove financial damages as a result of it. Are you thinking of taking any action in that regard?
That's way down the track. Let's get through all the 29 stages before that.
Nicky, also in the introduction you mentioned that you thought that some of the electoral practices might have been illegal. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Can't, sorry. No.
Well, that might not be in the emails, that might just be in the book. You found it's a legal opinion based on actions which the party took.
No, it was based on evidence that I've got in the book. So, the decision I made today is that the book is an amalgam of stuff, and I would say a bit of it, but I just, I mentioned slightly about the Brethren, but the rest of the book, I think I should just not start waiting around.
Because in terms of the illegality, if it turns out that the evidence discloses some illegal conduct, then that removes any confidentiality from it.
No, it just increases the public interest, which will be the defence, will be the argument for being able to get
this
it out.
This is our opportunity to find out what that public interest argument is, and it would be quite interesting if you could tell us what it is.
It would be very good, and if I was in contempt of court, I'll get totally done, even if it's a good book and warrants being out.
Could you give us a general idea whether it's about spending or connections, or is it about...
There are possible breaches of spending laws and parliamentary spending rules and possibly donation laws. There's a range of them, but I don't... Please don't ask me to go into detail. particularly because I can say something very specific. When someone like me presents evidence and then talks about legal things in the book, every single line has got likely, possible breach and so on, because I'm not a lawyer, you know? So I've just presented the evidence. Don't ask me.
You know, during the election campaign when Brash was first asked, actually really by Rod Donald from Rotorua, about pamphlets and brief run links from Thresh gave his first explanation.
Yeah.
Without revealing the contents, do you have emails around that period during the election campaign within the National Party? I'd love to read you.
Thank you for coming.